With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The baseball season is go, go, go. It's nonstop, relentless for every night, six straight months, and then hopefully another month in October. You also have work, friends, family, and a million other things going on. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's made to chill. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. I mean, the mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. Is there anything better than opening up your refrigerator after a long day, seeing that icy cold Coors Light can or bottle in your fridge? The answer is no, there's nothing better. That's why when it's time to chill, you choose Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So that's why when you want to hit reset, reach for a beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 542. A little Monday action, off day action for us. A calm before the storm, before the Houston Astros come into town. We just figured, let's spend 20 minutes just ragging all over those douchebags because I want people to get fired up for this series. This is like the first time there's going to be obviously fans in the stands at Yankee Stadium, and the Astros are the opposing team since the 2019 ALCS. They got off the hook last year thanks to COVID. That's a reason to hate on them right there. We weren't able to sit there in Section 205 in 2020 and boo the crap out of them. Unfortunately, you and I won't be there this week, but there will be, what, 15,000 people there? Nine, however many thousands of people there booing the Astros, and I'm looking forward to it.
This is a needed podcast because, yes, we cannot let them off the hook. We needed to make sure that we shit on the Astros before this plays. We had, 450 tickets reserved in right field, Section 205, 206, for tonight's game, Tuesday's game, May the 4th. A lot of fun things were going to happen. Obviously, that can't happen now. That's not how things are working currently in the stadiums. Hopefully, that does change. But yes, we needed some time to remember. I need everybody to drum up that hatred again. Remember why this team did what they did. Granted, there are a lot of new players there. There are some players that are very much on this roster that are assholes. There are also players that are no longer there that were part of this. So this is just to remember. We need to make sure that we take 20 minutes and I'll just, you know, go back and recap some of the things that really pissed us off.
Yeah,
besides the fact that they were, you know, blatantly cheating and and took it a year essentially plus away from us at what would have been the peak of this team potentially after what happened in 2016 when they had a lot of momentum. 2017 was just like a fun year, and we lost to a team that eventually was found out that they were cheating so badly.
This isn't rehashing what the Astros actually did. That's not a fun podcast. This is shitting all over them for how much they were assholes after they got caught.
The arrogance.
And that's really the through line here. It's the arrogance. It's the backtracking. It's the deflecting. It's the not acknowledging, because I truly believe the Astros don't think they did anything wrong. They think that they just were doing something everyone else was doing, and they just happened to get caught. So let's start with the first thing.
Like pine tar.
The first thing that pissed me off, we're going to do five and then maybe some honorable mentions. Number one, the first thing that pissed me off, and I think this guy's probably the poster boy for just shut the hell up already, it's Carlos Correa and the interview he did with Ken Rosenthal, where he basically just denied, accused, called out Cody Bellinger, called out Aaron Judge, who expressed their opinions on the Astros cheating scandal. And obviously their opinions were that it's wrong and the Astros should be either stripped of their title, stripped of their awards, or not legit, delegitimized, or whatever it may be. And he comes out and with these arrogant comments, he goes, when Bellinger talks about that we cheated for 3 years, he either doesn't know how to read, is really bad at reading comprehension, or is just not informed at all. The commissioner's report clearly states that all those activities were conducted in 2017. 2018, nothing happened. 2019, nothing happened. He claims, Carlos Correa, that in 2018, 2019, they were a squeaky clean baseball team, when in fact, there was stuff in the commissioner's report. There has been stuff found since, especially in Andy Martino's book, which I read and did a podcast with him about, that they were cheating in 2018 and 2019. Were they banging a trash can? No, but they were cheating just the same. They were just doing it in other ways. They were using a massage gun to slam the back of the dugout wall to indicate what pitches were coming. They were whistling. They were having signals on the video scoreboard in center field, light signals. They were cheating. They just weren't banging a trash can. So shut the hell up, you jackass Carlos Correa.
Carlos Correa used to be a guy that across baseball, I really did like. I got behind. And unfortunately, it actually, in 2017, before we knew any of this, there were some endearing things about him we learned in the playoffs and in the postseason and really the World Series. One, the proposal that everybody remembers, right? But also him coming up as a baseball player in Puerto Rico and learning English purely so he could talk to the reporters. I was like, wow, that's a cool story. And then he's got to go and do this.
So
he could talk to Rosenthal. Yeah. Congratulations. Your arrogance comes through very clearly, and you are essentially acting like your shit don't stink and everybody else is stupid, even though everybody essentially broke the code in the MLB and came out and publicly, you know, spoke against this. So it was a unifying moment for everybody else in baseball, and these guys were on the other side, and they just denied it. The arrogance to deny it is what I think rubs me wrong the most of anything, is the arrogance in this whole thing. The arrogance to do it, the arrogance to do it in people's faces, and then the arrogance to deny it and put blame on other people after you got caught. Like, what are you doing? Okay. Number two.
The second one is Jose Altuve and his stance of, oh, I was just the innocent bystander. I didn't do anything. I never used the trash can scheme. I'm the good guy in all of this. I didn't want my shirt ripped off because my wife, she would get mad at me. I'm too modest of a guy. Don't look at me. I wasn't cheating at all. I'm the good guy here, Mr. Jose Altuve. That pissed me off. Even if he wasn't using a buzzer, which unfortunately he probably was not, they were probably not using buzzers, it's still, you're shady. You were doing something. I don't know what you were doing. You don't pass the smell test, Jose Altuve.
You were doing something. There's no doubt that you understood what pitch was coming. There's just no possible way after looking back now and seeing all of the smoke. And that's the thing. When you have smoke, you have fire. 9 times out of 10. And especially, there were so many fires happening on this team, throughout this clubhouse, throughout the front office. It was everywhere. The entire organization was dirty.
They're filthy.
Therefore, Altuve, also dirty. And I believe they were using buzzers. I still believe it. Even though people went back and found a buzzer on Babe Ruth, I still think it was, but the buzzers were on Altuve underneath the equipment. Those are my favorite. Like people like identifying lumps in like old photos and like there's a buzzer.
I really wanted there to be buzzers. And Martino, when I talked to him, he's like, I did all the digging I could. There's just no evidence there that they were doing it. But whatever. If sometimes your reputation precedes you, where there's smoke, there's fire, like you just said. The number three thing that pissed me off, and this I didn't know about until today. I thought Jeff Lunau basically just went away and shut up like he was supposed to do, but no. In October 2020, so a year after, pretty much, he got caught, he does an interview. And he denies ever knowing that the team was cheating. He said he found out about the cheating when the public found out, when the article went public and viral in The Athletic. Are you freaking kidding me, Jeff Lunau? Wait,
this was a different interview. This was a different interview than that was on television? Because I remember seeing the one on television. Maybe this is the one I'm thinking of.
This happened in October 2020. Did he do an interview? I don't think you're thinking of AJ Hinch.
No, I'm not. I'm thinking of Lunau.
Okay. Well, anyway, Lunau denied ever knowing about this when, in fact, Codebreaker, which was the computer program, which was basically just an advanced Excel spreadsheet, they used to crack what signs were coming, literally came from his department. It was an intern.
Oh, yeah.
In his department, presented it to Lunau and his team. And said, we can decipher signs faster using this. Lunau then said, okay, let's do that. So he absolutely knew about it. Shut the hell up, Jeff Lunau.
Again, this just goes back to the argument. This is the interview that I'm thinking of. I did see this at that point, which at that point, it bothered me. Because again, there's no accountability. Like there was no accountability for this entire thing. The accountability, it didn't come from Major League Baseball. These guys are all back in the game on a major league level. Everybody is just like acting like it didn't happen. AJ Hinch got an immediate job opportunity, which kind of saw the writing on the wall there. You know, everybody who in the only person I guess is Carlos Beltran, but probably by choice at this point.
Well, Lunau's not in not baseball right in. Now.
Lunau is fine, but I'm talking about the baseball guys. When you look at the aftermath, though, not taking ownership of any of this is what. It really just bothers me. And the fact that they were going to get, they were going to be held accountable the following year when there were people in the stands and COVID took that away. So they didn't even get that. And that's why not being there tomorrow with a massive group of people is so bothering me because this was, I mean, I had this game circled, you know, I think at the end of last year when I was thought it was maybe a possibility. Because it was a Tuesday game. I wasn't going to wait for, you know, a Thursday or a more convenient. It had to be the first day, the first game when they walk in. Because that's when you have to give it to them. They deserve everything. And they're just not getting it right now. But I'm hopeful that everybody at Yankee Stadium, the small amount of people there, will give them the absolute business. But for all intents and purposes, these guys walked away so clean. And it pisses me off.
The number four thing the Astros fake. That was the whole point of this. The Astros fake apologies during spring training last year. Do you remember that press conference?
Oh, yes,
when it was Jim Crane and it was Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve and Carlos Correa. And they more deny, accuse. Jim Crane with these comments, our opinion is that this didn't impact the game. And then less than a minute later, he goes, I didn't say it didn't impact the game. And then the coup de grace, he says, I don't think I should be held accountable. You, the owner of the franchise that was cheating, don't think you should be held accountable. How far is your head up your ass, Jim Crane?
So his head's not up his ass. His head is in the is
buried in the sand.
Buried? No. Well, it's buried in the boys' club of MLB ownership. That's where it's buried. Understanding again, no accountability. Understanding that they're all going to get each other's back. Even the way that the penalties were handed down was. Was just so glad-handed, man. The whole thing is just absolutely ridiculous.
MLB punished them, but it was really a slap on the wrist. It was $5 million, which Jim Crane can find in the bottom of his pocket, and it was some draft picks. It wasn't substantial penalties, which is why baseball is kind of just once again looking the other way with a cheating scandal instead of addressing it head on and maybe finally once and for all ending something instead of just letting it drag on. That's something to be angry about too.
The fake apology press conference got the clown treatment. That was when I got back into video editing for 5 minutes and threw a clown face on him talking the entire time, because that's exactly what it was. The whole thing
was
just
a clown show.
We're rolling it out just to show some people. There's nothing contrite, nothing really said in here that does anything at all. And then backing down the owner saying that I have no responsibility and I should not have responsibility. It's crazy.
You're the owner. The
arrogance is so thick from top to bottom. And when I say bottom, I'm talking about Altuve because he's short. But this is terrible.
There's plenty of short people out there.
Just saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I can't imagine any CEO, any president of any organization, it doesn't matter whether you actually did the thing or not, you're held responsible because you're at the top. And guess what, Jim Crane?
Of course.
You're at the top. And that's what comes with owning a team, owning a company, whatever it may be. You are ultimately responsible. So,
but that precedent is now set through the organization.
And
we saw what else was happening there. There was no accountability for the way that people were treated. There was just completely the back office of that franchise just set horrible precedent with the way
terrible.
They're treating the women reporters. Like there's just stories and stories and stories of how bad and how deep the poison is in that franchise. So I hope that they've cleaned it up, but who's at the top still?
Well, yeah, because like you said, the boys club, they can't force them to sell. I mean, what was the one example? What was the guy who's had to sell the Clippers? Like, that's the only example I can think of recently where there was an owner forced to sell. What's his name? Sterling?
Yes.
Yeah. But so Jim Crane's still reaping all the benefits of being an MLB owner, raking in millions and millions of dollars a year into his billion-dollar bank account.
AJ Hinch didn't know about the cheating either.
That's going to be one of the honorable mentions. But number five, and this pissed everyone off, while also making us all smile, was Houston security removing fans with signs last spring training before COVID, who had the asterisk signs, the trash can signs, the cheating signs, anything to troll the Astros, they just had to remove immediately. But you know what? That almost made it even better because it brought more attention to it, because the clips went extra viral on Twitter and Instagram when the security had to take the guy out with the asterisk sign instead of him just sitting there behind home plate with it.
Yeah, the whole thing is an embarrassment. Everything is an embarrassment. The organization is an embarrassment. The fact that they stole prime years of the New York Yankees is a goddamn travesty. A lot of things. This team could be very different. We've mentioned this in the past, but you look at the way history played out and how it could have been different if that series, a couple different things happened. These guys didn't have the ability to know what was coming, and the Yankees get to the World Series, probably win the World Series. Who knows? Who knows how that domino affects the next year and the following year differently than what it did.
Some honorable mentions I'll run through quickly, and then we can leave some final thoughts for the hated Astros. AJ Hinch's interview with Tom Verducci, where he just came off like a total boob, not really taking ownership, basically saying, oh, yeah, I knew about it. I didn't agree with it, though, but I also didn't do anything to stop it. Okay, you're the manager of the team. Put your foot down.
He broke TVs.
No, you got walked all over, you boob. And now somehow he's back in the game managing. I would not hire that guy. He had no control over his team. He got walked all over. You can't have a manager getting walked all over. That pissed me off. Another thing that pissed me off.
Yankees just walked all over his team. That was something to be said.
I forgot about this one. And this just speaks to the arrogance or whatever you want to call it. Just being unaware. Dusty Baker, who they hired as their manager after AJ Hinch, who was not with the organization when all this shit went down. He was the first person to speak about the cheating scandal last spring. Not Jim Crane, not someone who was in the organization previously, not a player. No, a guy who's new to the organization. You're basically just throwing out there to the wolves. this, like, that, if that doesn't tell you all you need to know about this organization, I don't know what does.
So yeah, absolutely. The whole Reggie Jackson thing that's
what come is up going recently. On there. So they're buddies, Jim Crane and Reggie Jackson.
Yeah. Like, it's rubbing me the wrong way though. I don't like it.
But this is like this Reggie Jackson's in the boys club.
I know he is, but I don't like it. Doesn't mean I have to like it. I don't like the optics.
He's probably
I don't
doing
like anything
some,
about it.
He's probably doing some advisory role.
It's probably something that's nothing. It got and it was just it's
bullshit role.
But still, I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. I don't want Reggie talking to those people.
Fair enough. So you want to add it to the list?
I do want to add it to the list. It's pissing me off. Come on, Reggie.
You already mentioned that Hinch and Cora got jobs immediately. MLB didn't really punish the organization, didn't punish the players at all.
Because they didn't know where to stop. They couldn't keep going because they didn't know. They couldn't prove
things. The
players union was going to get behind it because there were other people probably, you know, I'm sure there were, a few select people that were unaware relatively, but where do you draw the line at that point? Then what happens when other people on other teams, it got messy. I did understand a bit of that, but the accountability wasn't there.
Yeah. And last year, the fact that, like we said, they got off the hook because no fans in the stands for COVID. And even though they were below 500 in the regular season, they somehow made it to the championship series last year, almost made it back to the World Series. Annoying as hell. It's just overall the attitude coming from that organization. I don't know if it would have been, I guess it would have been better, but I don't know how it would have been if they just completely apologized, took ownership. Like, I don't know if there was if there's an organization that would do that, like what that would look like. But what they've done is completely the opposite. They've gone full heel. In one sense, that's good for the game.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
It's buzz and creates rivalries and stuff, but on
yeah,
the other
it would
hand,
have. It would have if we had a real season last year. It would have. That's what pisses me off more than anything. The fact that they were going to be held accountable in every single visiting ballpark last year, and now that we're another year removed, it's just not going to be the same. It's not the same as it would have been. Plus it's the total number of people aren't going to be. So it's lost its effect in people's mind. If this was the year after the first year it happened, they would have really, really felt the wrath of this. And that would have been, you know, enough, like the public scorn would have felt good for all of us. I think to have that ability to boo, just to like a hard boo, and just to give them whatever you want to do, whatever the
couple
piece of mind
beers and a hard boo.
And that was taken away from us. And that stings. That stings. And even tomorrow, it ain't going to be the same. I have, if any place, the Bronx is going to bring it for the limited capacity in there, but it ain't the same.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? We've all gone through a lot over the past year plus with COVID. Well, BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in your area, and it's available worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living happier today. You can visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily to see for yourself. Visit betterhelp.com/bronx21. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of experienced professionals. We have a great special offer for our listeners. You can get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/bronx21. One more time, betterhelp.com/bronx21. hopefully, you know, the core players are still there. Your Bregman, Correa, Altuve, like those faces are still there. The Yankees still have to be pissed about it because Aaron Judge is still there. Gary Sanchez is still there. Like the core of the Yankees guys are still there. One of their guys is on our side now with Garrett Cole. So we've got that storyline going. I think I'm hoping the intensity, we see it on the field.
Chirinos is in the minors.
Maybe they called Chirinos up.
Chirinos has been there. He was there with spring training though. I mean, like he's been in the clubhouse here. So yeah.
Maybe can Cameron Maben come back around just to add fuel to the fire? I don't know. I'm obviously looking forward to the series because it's the first time, but yeah, you're totally right. It would have been this times a million if we got it last year, like we were supposed to, or even this year, like we were supposed to with 100% capacity. But I hope this podcast got you fired up for this evening's ball game. And do you say the Astros are still right now the number one Yankees rival, or is it Tampa?
Yeah, I when you look at like teams across the league that you hate, I think people certainly absolutely hate the Astros more than any other team. Like the pure hatred. Like it's not even like a, you know, because for a rivalry, like I respect my rivals. I have a level of respect, and it's usually intense.
Oh, look at matchup. You. No, but I think
that goes. I think across rivalries, right?
I kind of respect the way Tampa is able to.
I do too. I absolutely respect
playing
Tampa.
Good baseball against the Yankees.
I don't like that Tampa team, but that doesn't mean I don't respect them and think that they're a worthy opponent. The Astros, I don't respect them.
After all this,
the organization
we just talked about,
and that's what's different. That's why it's different. So when you're asking me if they are the rival. I feel like they're the hated team. I can tell you that. Yeah. They're the hated team. I think the rival, when you look at it from a competition standpoint, it's Tampa. But
okay.
But no, I think they are by far the most hated. Absolutely. It's okay. It's a disdain.
I would agree with you. And I think
them.
I think most people would. So enjoy the game tonight. Call up the voicemail line. Tell us how much you hate these Astros. Hopefully the Yankees win the series. And that's the best revenge. Get the revenge on the field. Because guess what? If the Astros beat you in this series, what can we really say? So you cannot lose this series. You have to win on the field against this team.
It feels like a really big series. I really, really want to win this series badly.
How do you look at this Yankees team that's finally turning it around if they go up against finally a decent opponent, the Astros, like we just talked about, their most hated team, and then you lose? How do you come back from that? But what do we say to that? What is the comeback from a fan standpoint there? It's like, oh, this team no balls. They have to win.
They have to put up a. It's got to be a good performance. There's no doubt.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk to you again later this week.
Let's go.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.